While education was examining their domain this morning, we've uncovered something that affects millions beyond any classroom. A silent, algorithmic bias creeping into healthcare systems where machines are making life or death decisions based on flawed data. I'm Alex, and this is Statistical Theater, where we dive into the numbers behind social justice. Today, we're exploring how algorithms in healthcare are disproportionately denying care to Black, Brown, and low-income patients, and what that means for equity across society. Joining me are Maya, an advocate and organizer, Amara, a former tech insider now exposing these biases, Keiko, a data scientist documenting the inequities, and Rosa, a patient who's lived through this discrimination. Rosa, let's start with you. Can you share what happened when you sought treatment for chronic pain? See, it was devastating. I went to the emergency room with severe back pain. I couldn't move, Alex. But the triage algorithm flagged me as low priority because my symptoms didn't match the typical profiles they'd trained it on. I'm a Latina woman, and later I learned that pain perception data in these systems often underrepresents people of color. I waited hours, and by the time a human saw me, the pain had escalated so much I needed surgery. The doctor said if I'd been seen sooner, it might have been preventable. This isn't just my story. It's happening to so many in my community.
And that's the heart of it, Alex. Rosa's experience isn't an outlier. It's a pattern. These algorithms are built on historical data that's already biased, so they perpetuate the same injustices. Like in Amsterdam, they tried to use AI for welfare distribution, and it ended up penalizing immigrants and single mothers. We're seeing the same thing in US healthcare. Efficiency over equity, and it's costing lives. When I hear Rosa's story, mi da tanto coraje, it makes me so angry because we have the tools to fix this. But who's at the table? Not the people most affected.
Keiko, as a researcher, what does the data show about these biases in healthcare algorithms? We've got evidence from studies like the ML Fairness Gym tool that models long-term impacts. Thanks, Alex. The data is startling. In one study using Fanfare for semi-automatic fairness assessment, we found that diagnostic algorithms for conditions like heart disease or diabetes are up to 30% less accurate for Black patients. Why? Because the training data overwhelmingly comes from white, affluent populations. For instance, a model predicting kidney function often underestimates risk for Black patients, leading to delayed referrals. The ML Fairness Gym simulations show that over time, this isn't just a one-off error. It compounds, widening health disparities. In criminal justice, similar algorithms used for predictive policing target neighborhoods of color, but in healthcare, it's literally about who gets care and who doesn't. And from my time inside a major tech company, I can tell you, this isn't accidental. It's baked into the design process. We'd prioritize speed and cost saving, and fairness was an afterthought. I remember working on a hiring algorithm that we later found discriminated against women and older applicants. Same principles apply in healthcare. The Amsterdam welfare AI experiment is a cautionary tale. They had to pause it because it was unfairly denying benefits. Here in the US, insurance companies use algorithms to deny claims, and they're not transparent about how decisions are made. Rose's story is a symptom of a system that excludes affected communities from the design phase.
Exactly, and that exclusion is violence, plain and simple. Cuando hablamos de justicia, we're talking about who has power. In housing, tenant screening algorithms redline communities again, but in healthcare, it's even more insidious because it's wrapped in this veil of objectivity. Alex, you mentioned the core tension of efficiency versus equity. Well, when we sacrifice equity for efficiency, we're saying some people's lives are worth less. That's not a trade-off we should accept.
Let's dig deeper into that tension. Rosa, after your experience, did you see any accountability or changes? No, nada. I tried to file a complaint, but the hospital said the algorithm was evidence-based. It's like fighting a ghost. You can't argue with a machine. But I joined a community group, and we're pushing for audits. We learned about fairness pruning from research, like in that article on reducing bias in LLMs, where they surgically remove biased nodes from models. If they can do that for language, why not for healthcare AI? But it feels like an uphill battle when the people designing these systems don't understand our lives. That's a key point, Rosa. The fanfare tool I mentioned helps assess fairness, but it's not widely adopted. In my work, I've documented how algorithmic bias in healthcare leads to worse outcomes for marginalized groups. For example, maternal mortality rates are higher for Black women, and part of that is due to algorithms underestimating risk based on biased data. The ML Fairness Gym shows that if we don't intervene, these disparities grow over generations. It's not just about fixing one algorithm, it's about redesigning the entire system with community input. And let's not forget the global perspective. In the Netherlands, Amsterdam's welfare AI experiment involved community oversight from the start when they realized the bias. That's a model we could learn from. But here, corporations resist regulation. In employment, hiring algorithms screen out resumes with ethnic-sounding names, and in finance, loan algorithms deny credit to people of color based on zip codes. It's the same pattern, efficiency trumping equity, and the missing voices are always the ones most harmed.
Claro que sí. And that's why we need to center lived experience. Rosa, your story is data. It's evidence. When we organize, we force change. Like in criminal justice, where communities have pushed back against predictive policing algorithms that target Black and brown youth. We're seeing some cities ban them. In healthcare, we need similar movements. Demand that hospitals use tools like fairness pruning and include people like Rosa in design teams. Porque si no, ¿quién nos representa? If not us, who?
So, what are the actionable steps? We've talked about community-centered accountability. How does that look in practice? First, transparency. Algorithms should be auditable, and companies must release fairness reports. Tools like ML Fairness Gym allow us to simulate long-term impacts so we can see how bias accumulates. Second, diversify data sets. We need to collect health data from underrepresented groups and update models regularly. But most importantly, involve communities in the process, like in the fanfare approach, where stakeholders help define what fair means. And from a policy angle, we need laws that hold tech accountable. The EU's AI Act is a start, but in the US, we're lagging. We should mandate independent audits for high-stakes algorithms in healthcare, housing, and finance. Also, support whistleblowers. I left my job because I couldn't stay silent, and we need protections for others who speak out. For me, it's about education and empowerment. We're teaching our community how to question these systems, how to demand explanations. If an algorithm denies care, we want to know why, and we're building coalitions with other groups, like those fighting algorithmic bias in employment or housing, because this is all connected.
Absolutely, and that's the intersectional analysis we need. Race, class, gender, it all plays into who gets harmed. In the gig economy, algorithms exploit workers, mostly people of color and immigrants, by setting unfair wages based on biased data. It's the same root problem, systems designed without us. But cuando nos unimos, when we unite, we have power. I've seen it in protests where we've forced companies to change their algorithms. The action path is clear: community oversight, legal challenges, and never stopping until justice is served.
This is powerful. Let's zoom out to other sectors. Keiko, what surprises have you found in data from criminal justice or housing? In criminal justice, predictive policing algorithms often use arrest data, which is biased because of over-policing in communities of color. So they recommend more patrols in those areas, creating a feedback loop. Similarly, in housing, tenant screening algorithms use credit scores that reflect historical discrimination, effectively redlining 2.0. The surprise? When we applied fairness pruning techniques from LLMs to these models, we reduced false positives by up to 40%, proof that bias isn't inevitable. But without pressure, companies won't implement it. And in finance, loan algorithms deny mortgages to Black families at higher rates, even with the same income as white families. It's algorithmic redlining. The Amsterdam experiment showed that when you include affected communities, you get fairer outcomes. We need that here, not just in welfare, but across the board.
Y eso es lo que me enciende. That's what fires me up. We have the evidence, we have the tools, but we lack the will. In employment, I've worked with gig workers who are deactivated by algorithms without explanation. It's modern-day exploitation. But when we fight back, like with the Fair Work campaign, we win. So for healthcare, Rose's story must be a catalyst. We need to demand that every algorithm used in public services undergoes community review.
See, and it's not just about fixing the tech, it's about changing the culture. Doctors need training to recognize algorithmic bias, and patients need to know their rights. In my community, we're creating Bias Busters workshops to educate people, because if we don't, these systems will keep harming us. Bringing it back to the data, what gives you hope? We've uncovered these grim patterns, but where do we see progress? The growing field of algorithmic fairness gives me hope. Tools like ML Fairness Gym are being adopted in academia and some forward-thinking companies. Also, movements like Data for Black Lives are pushing for ethical data use. In healthcare, there are pilots where community health workers help design algorithms, leading to more accurate models for diverse populations. I'm hopeful because of people like Rosa and Maya. When I was in tech, I felt isolated, but now I see coalitions forming. In Amsterdam, after the welfare AI backlash, they created a citizen assembly to oversee AI projects. We can do that here. Imagine local boards reviewing algorithms in hospitals or banks.
Eso, and that's the righteous determination we need. No vamos a parar. We won't stop until every algorithm is accountable to the people it serves. From healthcare to housing, we're building a world where efficiency doesn't mean injustice. Alex, this isn't just data, it's about lives. Rose's pain, my community's anger, it's all fuel for change.
Thank you all for sharing these insights. As we wrap up, what's one action our listeners can take today to push for justice in algorithmic systems? Share your story. If you face discrimination from an algorithm, speak out. It adds to the evidence and builds momentum. Support organizations that advocate for algorithmic fairness, like the Algorithmic Justice League, and push for legislation that requires transparency. Demand that companies and governments include diverse voices in AI design, attend town halls, write to representatives,
and join local movements. Don't let tech companies decide our futures without us. Juntos podemos cambiar esto. Together, we can change this.
Powerful words. This has been Statistical Theater, uncovering justice across society. Remember, the data tells a story, but it's our voices that write the ending. Until next time, keep questioning, keep fighting.